We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Are you ready for the word? All right, tonight I want to ask you a question. Do you have the spirit of your leader? And I've actually taught, is your destiny connected to your leader? This is not that teaching. This is something just different again. Do you have the spirit of your leader? You know, the Apostle Paul said, imitate me for I imitate Christ. Did you know that? So what Paul's saying is, hey, my leadership is worth copying. He's not claiming perfection. We know he doesn't, because Paul wrote, the things I should do, I don't do. The things I shouldn't do, I do. How many can follow a leader like that? I can follow a leader like that. Couldn't you? He's being honest. Look, I'm still trying to figure this out, still trying to do it good. But the question I want to ask, I want to show you in Scripture, is something that I feel is so important. Come with me to Matthew chapter 19. I think we have it on the screen. If we do, let's put it up there. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. Who can say praise God for marriage? And the two shall become one. I don't think I need to paint any pictures. Okay. And it says, the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Or the old King James, put asunder. I like that word, don't you? What God has joined together, let no man separate. Anytime God joins something, you don't want to try and sever it. If God joined it, you don't want to sever it. Would you agree with that? I was thinking about, the Bible says a third cord strand is not easily broken. And I think the context of that, Josh, come back here for a minute. Which tattoo has the third cord strand? Which of your many walking movie cinema? The three cord strand. No, not the, yeah, there it is, that one there. We don't want to see Cupid over here. We want to see this one here. And you've heard me talk about this, and you actually got that permanently marked on your body for some reason. But it's about the third cord strand. And the idea of that is, in a marriage, I think this is kind of what you were thinking, that in a marriage, you and your spouse, if the third cord is Jesus, that strand is not easily broken. But in a marriage, if it's you and your spouse and your mother-in-law or a friend, then that cord is not easily broken. But that third cord ought not to be anybody but the Lord in a marriage. Amen. So watch what happens now. Let's keep going. In Ephesians 5, verse 20 and verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, watch this, and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak, watch this, concerning Christ and the church. So whatever we learn in marriage, it is to give us insight, watch this, into Christ and his church in the context of relationships. That we can learn something in marriage, and we can learn it from the example of what Christ and his church is doing and what he's doing in the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself for her, okay, to present it to himself holy and blameless without spot or wrinkle, okay? So think about it now. Whatever we learn in marriage, watch this, it is to give us great insight in a marriage. It gives us great insight into Christ and the church. So we learn in marriage that you leave your mother and father and you're joined to your wife. Got it? And one of the things we learn in marriage is actually we get great insight as to how Christ and the church works. Okay, so in other words, how church works in context of relationships. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Watch, the Bible says that Jesus, listen, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He wasn't looking for people to serve him. He was looking to serve others. Is that what it says? But it says he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who did he minister to? Who did Jesus serve? Who did Jesus wait on? Most people would say it was people. But I want to suggest to you that is wrong. That does not mean that Jesus is not kind and compassionate to people. Matter of fact, I actually think Jesus was never, ever once controlled by the needs of people, as most people think. Never. Matter of fact, some people think this, Jesus just couldn't help himself. He just had to heal everybody. Now, Jesus wants to heal people. You understand this? Okay, you understand that? Jesus is kind and compassionate. But if you read the Gospels, I don't know about you, but when I read the Gospels, I think Jesus had a healing line and halfway through it, he gets in a boat and goes to the other side. Halfway through a healing line. Matter of fact, go on and read the Gospels and you would realize that Jesus walked into the equivalent of like a modern day hospital, which was the Pool of Siloam in the Gospels, and heal only one person amongst all the sick. The sick was all around him and he would walk away from that pool with no guilt and no condemnation. None. And I know some of you are getting a little nervous right now. Jesus even called one woman, and he did it on purpose, a dog. It's not fit that the dogs get the crumbs. And he did that to prove the tenacity of this woman's faith. Okay? So God is never controlled by the needs of people. Come on. And we can never have the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of man. You can't have both. Come on, somebody. Okay. Yet people think the primary purpose of a minister, of a leader, is to meet their needs. People think it. Now, don't get me wrong. Pastors ought to be shepherds, but they think the primary purpose is to meet their needs. I remember when I first came to Virginia Beach, one particular woman kept ringing the front office and saying, I've got to speak to the new pastor. I've got to speak to the new pastor. And so finally the receptionist goes, this woman just rings all the time. She won't stop asking. And I said, look, we're trying to teach the church. There's a whole team of people. And just find out what it is that she needs and we'll figure out who can best help her. Number one, I'm not meeting with another woman by myself. That is just inappropriate. Are you hearing me? So that reason alone was enough for me to push back on this. And then finally, my secretary said to her, look, unless you're willing to just give us some idea what it is that you want to talk about, you're not going to meet with Steve. And so she said, well, look, God told me that actually we're going to go on vacation. And God told me that he is to watch my dog while I'm away for a month. And I'm thinking to myself, and I just said, you tell that lady I am not her dog sitter. I'm her pastor. Come on. Okay. So God was never controlled by the needs of people. Neither can we have the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom and the fear of men. Yet people think the primary purpose of a minister is to meet their needs. Now watch this. Saul was a man who was head and shoulders above all the people. And what made God say to him, Saul, I reject you because you have rejected me. What did Saul do that God said, I'm rejecting you? And I want to say to you this, it wasn't adultery, but God rejected Saul. And look what it says in 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. And what was his sin for God to reject him? For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. Why did he do it? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Did you hear it? I actually gave greater care, thought, and respect for the people and what they wanted than what I knew God wanted me to do. Can anybody see that? And I'm just gonna, and I read that and I go, wow, that's a really scary verse. Saul's biggest concern was to do what the people wanted, to worship and sacrifice like the people wanted. Saul, God said, you're controlled by the needs of people and your own image, therefore you're finished. Anybody hear what I'm saying? So let's talk about departmental leaders. Let's talk about leaders. This is team night. We're talking about building teams. Let's talk about it for a minute. Where do almost all church splits come from? And I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from a person in leadership in a church that cannot surrender, submit their life to the leader they serve. And America's famous for it. Come on, somebody. I can name many, many churches in this city that were started because of a church split. Is it the will of God for churches to split? Of course it's not. Maybe it's a community group leader. Maybe it's a deacon. Maybe it's the worship leader. Maybe it's an associate pastor. Maybe it's a diva pastor. Maybe it's a super gifted person but has low character. Are you hearing me? Maybe it's somebody who's ambitious. And look what the Bible says here in Acts 20 verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples, watch this, after themselves. That's what Paul's saying. Now, in Acts chapter 7, we have a problem in the church. And it's not the problem that most leaders think the problem was. And it's a food, it looks like there's a food distribution. Do you know the story of the widows that said, we're not being fed? Okay, so the church in Jerusalem, there was a problem. The problem was widows were not getting fed. It was a food distribution problem. And let me tell you, it was a race problem. Because these widows were Grecians and they were being neglected. Just read the Bible. It's very clear. That's what happened. So the answer, watch this, was the apostle said, watch, let's find seven men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Not just full of the Holy Spirit, but wise. I know some people who are full of the Holy Spirit, but lack wisdom. I know some people who are very wise, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. I thank God that God put both requirements. Let's find people who are full of the Holy Spirit and are wise. So they create or ordain this deacon role whose job it was, watch this, to wait on these women and look after them. Is that right? No. That was not. Now, that was the function given to them. But why did these leaders, the apostolic leaders of the New Testament church, do this? Okay, so it wasn't to wait on the people, it was to release their leaders. Look what the Bible says in Acts 6 verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. For the leader to get involved in that would take them away from what God called them to do. But somebody better look after these people. Are you hearing it? And I say this to pastors all the time. Do not use that Bible verse as an excuse for you not being a caring and a kind pastor. Don't you dare use that Bible verse. When I first came here, there was a pastor before I even got on staff, before I arrived as a senior pastor. And he wouldn't help out like every other pastor on team. He wouldn't give up. How many remember the Christmas tree sales? How many remember the Christmas tree? Remember this, Ben? And this is before I ever came. And one of the ways in which the church made the land payment for Seaboard Road was to actually sell Christmas trees so that, you know, the church wouldn't have to give as much money. And so they used to sell Christmas trees. I worked it out, the amount of money owed on Seaboard Road and how many years of Christmas tree sales to pay off that land would take us, I think, 90 years. I went, there better be a better strategy of raising money than selling Christmas trees. But nonetheless, it was something that was in place and we did it. One of the pastors right before said, the Lord has not called me to do this. The Lord's called me to preach and teach the word. He wasn't even the preaching pastor. He just wanted to sit in his office and read his Bible. So when I heard about it, I said, you tell that man his days are numbered. Because we're all going to do this. And I remember Sharon, we came, remember that? I mean, we were doing it. We wanted to lead by example. So I'm not saying we should have a heart that cares. I'm just trying to get us the right idea that these great leaders in the New Testament said, these women, these people need to be taken care of, but we will devote ourselves continually to prayer and the Word of God. Okay? Now, I've said it before. Listen, the Bible says, mark those who cause division. Leadership meetings are not a fight over what people are going to do. It's to receive instruction on what the father of the house wants and then do it. Thank you for that response. So when we look at the Bible, where did great leaders get their power? Well, look who trained them. Let's look at Joshua. Joshua had great power. Would you agree? He was fighting a war one day. And the Bible says he saw the sun was going to go down and they were prevailing, but they hadn't yet won. And so Joshua realized if they lose the daylight, they got to start this war all over again in the morning. So he points to the sun and says to the sun, "Sun, stand still." And the sun obeyed Joshua. If you can stop the sun from going down, you got something going on. Would you agree? And so think about this now. What was his training? The Bible says that Joshua was Moses' aide, that he served Moses. In other words, it says he waited on Moses. The Bible says he was joined to him. When all of Israel wandered about the desert, the Bible says, listen to it, I want you to catch it now. When they all wandered about the desert in sin and Aaron made the golden calf, Moses was up the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And God said, if anybody touches this mountain or comes near it, human, animal, anything, he goes, they will die. If anyone touches the mountain, they are dead. Moses tells Joshua, I've got to go up the mountain and the Lord wants to talk to me. Joshua's concept was, I've got your spirit. I'm joined to you. I'm here to serve you. I am your aid. Where did Joshua get this power from? He caught the spirit of his leader. So the Bible tells us, listen to this, that Joshua, he said, Moses, I'm called to you. I'm waiting on you. This is Joshua's mentality. I will go up. If you go up, I will go up. And if God kills me, he kills me. And yet amazingly, he didn't die. Now, God said, anyone goes up, they're a dead man. How is it that Joshua was not killed? Because Joshua so had the spirit of his leader that when God saw Joshua, he saw Moses' spirit. It's the only way he survived it, friends. It's the only way. He was there serving, okay? And so he got as much as Moses' spirit, and because of that, God didn't touch him. Think about Elijah and Elijah. And the Bible says that Elisha poured the water on the hands of Elijah. And I want to, here's the principle. Old leaders are to teach new leaders. That's the principle. And so the Apostle Paul was actually working with Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas, we know in Acts chapter 13, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry for which I've called them. Okay, and they're to go about planting churches and really birthing the New Testament church. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. The apostles got together and the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Join them. That which God joins together, let no man separate. Separate. You catch it? And yet in Acts chapter 15, the Bible says they had such a sharp disagreement. Because Barnabas wanted to take John Mark and Paul didn't. And the Bible shows us very clearly that the writer of the book of Acts stayed with Luke. Luke, rather, stayed with Paul, not with Barnabas. And actually, later, Paul writes, hey, bring John Mark to me. He's useful to the ministry. But from that moment on, Barnabas is gone out of the book of Acts. Never mentioned again. Never. Are you hearing it? Those whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder. You catching this? And so I want to just give you this thought here. Jonathan and David, they were joined together. God's answer to people is leaders, watch this, who have their leader's spirit. God's answer to people is leaders who have their leader's spirit. And this is not a self-serving message. I'm trying to give us a principle of how the kingdom works. Are you catching this? Numbers chapter 11, watch this. When the people complained, how many know sometimes people complain? When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. You know what? It really ticks God off when people complain. And it says, for the Lord heard it, and his anger aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses and said, when Moses prayed to the Lord and the fire quenched, so he called the name of the place Taberah, and it was because the fire of the Lord had burned among them, and now the mixed multitude who were among them had yielded to intense craving, so that the children of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We will remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our whole life is being dried up, and there's nothing at all except for this manna before our eyes. Here they are complaining, God, you're not enough. You're not doing enough. Are you catching it? So what is God's answer? Look what the Bible says, Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, watch, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know, everybody say, whom you know, to be elders of the people. You know they're already in a leadership position. You pick people that you know are already elders, okay, for the people's officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle. This is God's answer to people's complaints. This is God's answer to people's complaining. Watch. Moses is one person and he can't do everything. You catching it? And God's answer is, says, bring them to the tabernacle that they may stand with you there. There's something powerful about people who will stand with their leader. And you don't, and the Bible says they'll stand with you where? In the tabernacle. Can we see that? And it goes, and then it goes, then I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take the spirit that's upon you, and I will put, watch, the same spirit upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, and you will not bear it alone. Moses, watch this, was doing this all alone, and he had to realize, Moses, there already is within your midst leaders who you know, they don't get voted on. Show me a church that votes on the senior pastor, and I'll show you a church that's doomed to fail. Are you hearing me? Show me a church where people vote on deacons and boards, and I'll show you a church that's riddled with politics. What we need is people who've got the spirit of the leader that are there to say, I'm with you. Do all that's in your heart. So look what the Bible says. It says here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, verse 12. But I urge you, brothers, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. To recognize, to figure it out. Who are the people leading you? And they are the people that will actually are serving over you, and they are sometimes going to admonish you. They're going to build you up, and sometimes they're going to correct you. You catching this? Numbers chapter 11, verse 24. Let's read on. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, because they're complaining, remember? Okay. And he gathered 70 elders of the people, and he placed them in the tabernacle. The Lord came down on a cloud and spoke to him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And watch this. Spirit of the Lord came upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. As it happened, the Spirit rested upon them, and they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men who had remained in the camp, whose names was Eldad and Medad, it says the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed. They were some of the 70, two of the 70. But for some reason, Eldad and Medad didn't make it into the tabernacle. They're still in the camp. Can you see it? And the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord rested upon them. And it says, and they prophesied where? In the camp. Where's everybody else prophesying? In the tabernacle. This thing is not 5 minutes old, and it's already got men interfering with it. A young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying at the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, said, one of his choice men, and said, "My Lord Moses, forbid them." And I just want to say this to you, and I want to catch this. You will fall under the same anointing as your leader. Amen. But don't think it's yours. Come on, somebody. When the apostle laid hands on the deacons, remember the seven deacons, of which some of them were Philip and Stephen, the Bible says they did amazing miracles. Why? Because that they had the spirit of their leader. They didn't think it was their anointing. They were not just, they were there to make sure that their leaders were free to do what God called them to do. And they were able to do the miracles that the apostles were doing because they had the spirit of their leader. Amen? So let me ask you a question. Who are you called to serve? I mean, besides God, you may think people are first, but that's what got Saul in trouble. Do we serve people? You better believe we serve people. But who do you serve first? 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Can we see that? Anytime your loyalty is greater to the people than the person God gives the vision to, you're missing it. Are you catching this? Anytime that your loyalty is greater to people than to the leader that God gives the vision to, you're missing it. So why are you teaching this? Because we want to see 20 wave campuses. We want to see the kingdom of God be healthy and vibrant and strong. Can anybody say amen? And we've got to figure this out. We got to figure out what this looks like. And so there are things that God will say to the man of the house that you'll never understand. Are you hearing me? And Joshua, listen to this, by being a servant, was pure and he was usable. I mean, there are times when the spirit of a leader, the Bible says, don't leave your post when the spirit of a leader rises against you. I've been in the position where I've had the spirit of my leader rise against me. And he gave me that Bible verse and I looked at him, I said, "I ain't going anywhere." And he just got ticked off at me one time. He thought I did something that I didn't do. I knew what he was mad about wasn't me. There was something else bothering him. And I just happened to be the poor guy that happened to walk across him at the wrong time. Sometimes, watch this, I'll give an example. Elijah tried to lose Elisha. Elijah did not want to anoint Elisha. And the Bible says, he walked past him and God said, "There's gonna be another one that I'm gonna raise up after you." And you know, Elijah got depressed and suicidal, remember that? "I've had enough," and God says, "Come up to the mountain." Then he comes up the mountain, he says, "What are you doing here?" "Well, God, you told me to come up here, so I'm here. Why are you asking me what I'm doing here when you're the one that told me to come up here?" But remember, Elijah was depressed and suicidal, and God says, "Go back down the mountain, there's someone else you must anoint." Well, Elijah's ticked, he doesn't want to do this, and he goes, "You're to throw your cloak, your mantle on Elisha." And the Bible says, I don't know about you, but I get the picture. Elijah just goes, "It's him? Right." And then all of a sudden, from one touch of catching the spirit of that leader, he would never leave him. And actually, Elijah many times said, "Stay here, don't go any further." And Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord God lives, wherever you go, I will go." All right? Sometimes, you think about this, you actually don't understand everything that's going on. Jesus called a woman, it looked like a dog. How many know he wasn't calling her a dog? He was trying to prove that this woman would not be denied of a miracle. Think about this. Mary, the Bible says, stored many things in her heart about Jesus because she didn't understand it. Are you catching this? What about this one? What about when Jesus was 12 years old and she lost him? All right? And then she goes, "Jesus, where have you been? 3 days we've been looking everywhere for you. Don't you know that your mother and your father, your mother would be worried sick?" And he said, "Don't you know I'd be about my father's business?" Mary's going, "What?" And the Bible says she stored it in her heart. Here's another one. One time Mary and Jesus' mother and brothers, Mary, Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters were outside trying to get to Jesus and they couldn't get to him. And they said, "Would you please send a message to Jesus saying, we, his mother, his brother, and his sisters want to speak to him." And so finally, the message finally gets through. And they say, Jesus, your mother, your brother, and your sisters are outside and they want to speak to you. Can you imagine how they would feel? Like, we're family. We are family. We got this close connection. Jesus was busy doing what God called him to do. And Jesus answers, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And then he points to his disciples and goes, that's my mother. Then he pointed to another disciple and says, that's my brother. And then he pointed to another disciple. That's family. And whoever does the will of God is family to me. And what he was saying to his mother was, stop pulling me away and wanting special attention of family moment when I'm trying to do the will of God. And whoever does the will of God, they are family to me. I guarantee you, they didn't understand all of it at that moment. That's why the Bible tells us that James wasn't even a believer until after Jesus' half-brother, until after the resurrection. Are you catching this? I mean, I'll give you another example. Do you know Peter wrote about the Apostle Paul's writings? And the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And the Peter writes, as concerning Paul's letters, even I don't understand everything he's saying. Are you catching this? So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain. Watch this, Exodus 32. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you brought such a great sin upon them? So Aaron said, don't let the anger of my Lord become so hot. You know the people, and they are set on evil. So here's Aaron going, it's not my fault, it's the people's fault. Okay? And they are set on evil. For they said to me, watch this, make us gods that should go before us. For as this Moses fellow who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. Now, by the way, Joshua's not there either. How many of Joshua was there? He would have done with this. Are you okay? And he goes, we don't know what's become of him. So I said, whoever has gold, let him break it off. And so they gave it to me and cast it into the fire. And it says, and this calf, they watch this. I cast it into the fire and this calf came out. It's like the fire gave birth to a calf. Okay, what was the mistake they made? What was the mistake Aaron made? He represented and served the people, not his leader. Come on, somebody. So 2 Kings chapter 2, we get the prophet Elijah who was getting ready to be taken up. And Elijah said, I want a double portion of your spirit, Elijah. A double portion. And Elijah says, if you see me going up, when I go to heaven, I'll throw down my mantle and you'll have what you asked for. And I want you to know, if you've ever read this, that Elisha saw him going up and he didn't say, Elijah, I see you. Give me your cloak. Give me your mantle. Do you know what he did? He cried, my father, my father. He was mourning the departing of his anointed leader. He didn't say, well, it's about time I got this leadership role. I've been waiting for you to get out of the way. He cried, my father, my father. Are you catching this? And so that before there can be a departing, there must be an imparting. Elijah is going to receive the same spirit. Elisha is going to receive the same spirit of Elijah. And Elijah told him to wait here. And Elisha said, I won't leave you. You have to be able to cleave and not leave. Did you hear it? You have to be able to cleave. For this reason, a man shall be joined to his mother, to his wife, he shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife. Are you catching this? And so I remember one time I was talking to Donna Crouch. She's a dear friend of mine. She's in Hillsong. And Hillsong has planted churches all over the world. I think they're in 130 different nations, I think, if I got that right. I mean, it's staggering. 130 different nations. And Donna, as Brian was sending out great leaders to go to great places, Donna was going, God, all my friends are going to Spain and Germany and to Italy and all my friends. And Donna said, hey, God spoke to Donna. I said, hey, and she goes, all these people have got the courage to grow to great places. And God spoke to her and said, yes, but you need the courage to stay. And when she said that, I'm telling you, I thought to myself, that was one of the most profound things I've heard. Let's take Ruth. Ruth was blessed. Why? Because she cleaved to Naomi, and her sister Orpah kissed Naomi and left. Are you a leaver or are you a cleaver? Elisha was never known for his prophetic ministry. Never. He hadn't yet even prophesied. And look what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 3. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So the servants, one of the servants of the king of Israel, answered and said, well, there's this dude called Elisha. He's the son of Shaphat. He's here. And listen to what it says. And he poured water on the hands of Elijah. And do you know what Jehoshaphat said? He did what? What did he do? He poured water on the hands of the prophet. That man knew he had the spirit of Elijah. And he said, the word of the Lord is with him. Whatever he says, we will do. He hadn't yet prophesied. And here is Jehoshaphat about to go into battle. I'm just saying, I'm asking, do we have the spirit of our leader? Can anybody say amen? God does not make leaders. He makes servants. Before the 12 apostles, you ever thought about this? Before the 12 apostles entered into their ministries, they had to stay and minister to Jesus. What did they do? They were ushers. They sat down the people in groups of 50. They kept the multitudes from thronging Jesus. They were getting in the boat and they were getting out on the water. And they were probably chauffeuring him. Are you catching what I'm saying? They were also waiters. They were distributing the bread to the people. I mean, think about this. Does anybody else catch in this? They're catching the spirit of their leader. They had to stay behind and pick up the fragments. If you want to watch an individual that God raises up, you look for someone who actually has the spirit of their leader. It won't be individuals with a prima donna in the house, but it will be the individual that's got a servant heart who shoulders the burden of the people to be like a priest, which means to be a Levite. Do you know what the word Levite means? Listen to what it means. It means literally to be joined to. And I want to give just my closing thought here, some things that we ought to look out for about in terms of just church life, about danger signs to people who don't have the spirit of a leader. They might just have an independent spirit. And you say, what's an independent spirit? An independent spirit as a result is a result of an unbroken will. Somebody who they have not allowed God to break them. They've got an unbroken will. That's an independent spirit. No one's going to tell me what to do. Are you hearing me? And this is an acid test of loyalty. Another thing we're to watch out for, another danger sign, is a person who has a desire for personal recognition from the spiritual leader and they're looking for man's approval, not God's. Remember the mistake that Saul made? I did what the people wanted, not what you want. I served the people, I didn't serve you. You catching this? And so when a person cannot separate his worth from his performance, he is devastated when corrected because he's operating out of his own strength. I'll say it again. When a person cannot separate his worth from his performance, he's devastated when corrected because they're operating out of their own strength. And here's the last one. One of the greatest dangers, I think, is a murmuring spirit. Just people who love to murmur. Well, what's murmur? It's people who love to give a bad report. This is people who give a wrong interpretation of a circumstance. I think maybe the best example I can think about is Noah and his two sons. Remember the story of Noah and his two sons? He had one son and he's just, and by the way, Noah just saw the devastation of the entire world. You got to think about this. You got to put this in context. The whole world was wiped out. The only people that survived was Noah's family. Now, I don't know about you, but you want to talk about, you know, stress syndrome, post-stress. You just saw the whole world wiped out. Okay? And the Bible says Noah got drunk. Well, I would don't think it's ever good to get drunk. But if ever there was a circumstance, you'd cut the guy a little bit of slack, you just saw the whole world get wiped out. So in his drunkenness, he gets naked. It's amazing how these things get worse, isn't it? And then, I don't know about you, but, you know, and then it says, his son saw his father's nakedness. And do you know what he did? Now, young people, there's nothing worse than seeing your parents naked. Who can say amen to that? It's not a good day if you ever see your parents naked. And so one of the sons goes, hey, guess what? He's dead. He's naked. He's drunk. He's naked. And the other son comes. And the Bible says, the other son would not expose. You understand what I mean by that? Expose. He's already exposed. But he wouldn't go around telling anybody. And listen to this. He wouldn't even look at his father's nakedness. And the Bible says that he literally got a blanket and he walked, not even looking. He walked away and covered his father's nakedness. And the Bible says that God killed the son that exposed his nakedness, but honored the son that covered the father's nakedness. I'm just saying, a murmuring spirit, saying things, it destroys. When you murmur, write this down if you can. When you murmur, it destroys the person you're murmuring to. Think about this. When you murmur, bad report, say things that you shouldn't say. Okay? That it actually destroys, listen to this, the person you're murmuring to. When someone's murmuring to you, you need to know they're potentially destroying you. And not only that, listen to this, it destroys the person it's about. When someone's murmuring about someone, the person to whom you're murmuring, it destroys, but it also destroys the person who the murmur's about. And then finally, I want to say this to you, it destroys you. Amen. That's why the Bible says, mark them, not pray for them, mark them who walk disorderly. How do you mark them? Point them out. It's getting very quiet in here. Are we okay? And so when someone tries to plant seeds in your mind, I want you to see it like serpent's eggs. You got no idea. And someone tries to come and tell me something, I just go, hey man, stop right there. That's my friend. Okay? And so I just got to close because time's up. Here we go. So the next thing you know, when this person murmurs and has left that inside of you, they leave thieves in your temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And many could not receive Jesus because they only saw him as a carpenter's son. That's Jesus. He's a carpenter. His dad's Joseph. Jesus made my coffee table. I married his sister. I'm friends with his brother. And they couldn't receive Jesus because they couldn't receive the spirit of who he really was. Are you catching this? Hey, I grew up with this guy. He thinks he's who? God. And they couldn't receive him. They couldn't receive all that he had for them. Even though the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal many. And yet, because of that moment of overfamiliarity, because of that moment of if you like, just taking Jesus for granted, they couldn't receive who he is and what he had to give. It says, the power of the Lord was present to heal many, but only a few were healed. I'm just asking tonight, my message is, let's make sure that we understand that we are here to love people. Please don't walk out of here hearing anything different. We are here to love people, but we got to first make sure that God is our priority. And then secondly, we got to realize wherever you are, be planted. And I'm talking, this is a principle not just of the church, although this is the principle of the church. Okay, this is the mystery. Remember that first opening scripture about husbands, love your wives as Christ did the church. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father, be joined to his wife. And I speak this in the context of a great mystery that is the church. So this is how this works in church life. But I want to tell you, this actually works, I believe, in your job. Amen. I believe it actually works when we actually are people. You know, to me, I just think, I'm asking tonight, do you have the spirit of your leader? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking, Paul said, imitate me for I'm in Christ, imitate Christ. But I'm just about, your heart is there. I'm there to release the leader, do what God's called him to do, and I'm here to serve. Every leader that ever did anything great for God learned servanthood. Can you say amen? And I actually, and I see too many people just wanting to go, I just want to do my thing. And I see people wanting to get involved in leadership with wrong motives. That's okay. Just change your motive when you figure out your motive's wrong. Right. I remember one time this Bible college student came up to me and goes, I've just heard you teach about motives. And I realized my whole reason for being in Bible college, I've got all the wrong motives. He goes, what do? Leave Bible college? I went, no, change your motive. Where did you learn you had the wrong motive? In Bible school. You want to be in ministry, but you want to be in ministry for all the wrong reasons. So change the reason why you want to be in ministry. Can anybody say amen? That's my leadership teaching for the night. Do you have the spirit of your leader? Can I pray for you? Time is up. Can I pray for you? That challenge anybody? Hey, if I've provoked you to think, good. If I made you feel a little uncomfortable, good. Listen to that teaching. Listen to it. Look at the scriptures. Weigh it up for yourself. And I'm telling you something, I can stand here, look you in the eye, and say my whole life, I've not done it perfectly, but my whole life in the church that Cheryl and I got saved in was only ever to serve the leader that God put us under. And I remember when I was asked one night when I finally realized I could no longer serve that leader. I could no longer be loyal to him. He was having breakdowns, emotional breakdowns, mental breakdowns, physical breakdowns, a couple of other breakdowns we found out a bit later. And I remember the night I went to my senior pastor, I said, I love you. I just can't serve your vision anymore. Your vision is the church is going to be smaller. Your vision is there is secession coming. You keep telling me to fire people. I was his 2IC, second in charge. You keep telling me to fire people because you see them as a threat to your ministry. These are good people who love you. So the best way I know to be loyal to you is no longer be here. And the senior pastor said, I agree. I said, yep. And it tore me up. It wasn't easy for me. And that night, the senior elder of the church came to my house and said, and I'm 27 years of age. I was 27 years of age. And the senior elder said, Steve, we understand you want to move off team and you want to just get, I actually already got my old job back working for Radio Reynolds. And I remember this elder goes, we understand you want to move off team. This pastor's had so many breakdowns, we're done with him. If you stay, we, the eldership, will give you the church and we'll fire him. And I looked at that elder and I said, who do you think I am? That you think it was not you that put this man in that position. It was God. And how dare you think you can have this conversation with me and think that you can pull down and you can remove and you can appoint somebody else. It'll only be a matter of time before something else, you're not happy with me. And not only do I refuse and reject your offer, but I will be calling the senior pastor tomorrow morning and I will tell him what you just told me. You are not a loyal elder and you should step down. He does not, you are unworthy of the title. You do not have the spirit of your leader. I got to tell you something. I served that man and I wouldn't say perfectly, but I served him with the right spirit. And then I went to Hillsong and I served Brian and I served him. I wouldn't say perfectly, but I served him with the right spirit. And when Brian said to me one time, I went to him, I said, Brian, I'll come to run your college for 2 years. Then after that, I really feel God's called me to plant a church in America. 8 years later, I'm still in Hillsong Church, and now I'm the second in charge again of this church. And I had the best job in the world. And I said, Brian, I feel God. Pastor Wally Odom rang me and asked me, would you pray about taking this church? And I prayed, and Sharon and I felt moved about it. Not at first, Sharon wasn't very excited at all. But over a period of weeks, she prayed about it and she really felt like it was God. This is what I did. The spirit of my leader. I said, Brian, shall I feel this is God? But for any reason, anything, you just say, don't do it. We would never dream of leaving you without your blessing. There's a big difference between went and sent. Are you a cleaver or are you a lever? And Brian looked at me, he said, Steve, I don't want you to go. You've been a great, faithful person. These are not my words, these are his. But you have been faithful and I've always known that was in your heart. You have my total blessing. He asked one strange thing of me. He asked me, would I wait 9 months to help settle the church so there would be no unsettling in my departure? He realized because of the jobs that I played in that church and the roles I played were so deep and entrenched, it would take that amount of time to put other people in those roles to handle the roles that I had. And I said, well, if the pastor doesn't accept those terms, well, then it's not God, because I'm here and I serve you. I pray we are people who have the spirit of a leader. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for this great leadership night. I thank you for team night. And Lord, I thank you that we are here to love people. I thank you, Lord, that we are here to serve you and serve our leaders well. And in serving them, we're here to bless the people. I'm asking God for each and every one of us, if there's anything tonight that spoke to us, Holy Spirit, help us to just make that adjustment in our own heart. Make that alignment. Help us be, Father, the people that you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, these are team nights. We're going to go there on team nights. We're going to teach what it is to be on team. Amen. Because Paul said, hey, when I go, I know there'll be wolves that rise up. And we are shepherds, and we've got a shepherd's rod, and we got a shepherd's staff. And if I see a wolf coming, we're going to drive out the wolf. Can you say amen?
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.